Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the best of people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you will enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today, I'm really honored because we have three individuals here from the Shasta County Grand Jury. They're going to help us understand what the grand jury is about and what investigations that transpired in the year of 2025 through 2026. So we have with us today the former foreperson for the 2025-2026 year, Patty Bolton. And then we have Denny Mills, who served as a chairperson for the county committee, the 2025 through 2026, and Greg Simmons, who is pro tem chair for the local agencies and special districts for the 2025-2026 years. Welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking time to do this, because I think it's important that I hear people say, what is a grand jury? What are they about? And why aren't they prosecuting those criminals? So we'll talk about all those roles that the grand jury has. So I'm going to ask you, Patty, to start us off in explaining an overview of what the Shasta County Grand Jury is about.
The grand jury is constitutionally mentioned the opportunity for 19 individuals to examine different parts of the county and find opportunities to make improvements so that everybody's life is better.
But it's also, isn't it a legal agency? Do you prosecute criminals?
We do not. California and Arizona are two states that have civil grand juries rather than criminal grand juries. I know people are used to hearing that major criminals are accused and indicted by grand juries. That is not what the Shasta County Grand Jury does, thankfully. Our opportunity is to find ways to improve our local governments.
Yes. And, you know, you watch Law and Order, they talk about before they prosecute a criminal, they'll say it's going to the grand jury. And that's a completely different role that grand jury does.
Absolutely.
Compared to what you're doing. So, and like you said, aren't you grateful it's civil and not criminal things you're dealing with? And so you have served 2025 through 2026. 1 year is a term?
1 year is a term, from July 1st to July 1st.
And every year we see signs around Reading that ask people to volunteer for the grand jury. So I think it's important that people realize the term is 1 year. However, isn't it true that you can serve more than 1 year?
Yes. In fact, this was my second consecutive year serving on the grand jury.
Yay. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yes. And so about you, Greg Simmons, as the pro tem and chair for the local agencies and special districts 2025-2026, you have served the one term?
That's correct.
And how about you, Danny Mills?
The one term.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I like to do at the very beginning of programs is for the public to get to know the individuals more on a personal level. So I'll start with you, Patty. I like to ask, and we'll ask each one of you, where did you grow up? So we'll start with you, Patty.
Thank you. I grew up in Ketchikan, Alaska.
Ooh.
Moved to Seattle, Washington, to go to the University of Washington. Moved around a lot. Retired too early. Moved to Reading to join who is my now husband, and been here about 10 years now. But retiring early was part of the problem for me. I had too much free time on my hands, and my husband actually was still working at the time. And this was an opportunity to give back to my community. It's my new community, but give back to my new community. And I needed to do more of that. I enjoy serving on things like grand juries and that kind of thing.
Yeah, the power of volunteering, you know, it's really the capacity to be able, like you say, give back to the community. And I can remember talking with, I think it was Kathy Darling Allen or Joanna Francisca talking about we the people, the Constitution. That says we the people. And it encourages us to engage in community, that we are part of this. And if we kind of sit back and don't participate, you know, things can run amok. It's important. We're the ones that protect and create democracy. So I think it's important to know and to remind ourselves of. So Greg Simmons, for you, where'd you grow up?
In Colorado.
Colorado. Wow.
Yep. And did my schooling there. Kids were born there. Moved to Arcata, California, be a faculty member at Humboldt State University.
Ah.
Did that for 20-some years and retired about 20 years ago. And we had my wife and I had a piece of property in Trinity County that we ran basically as a bed and breakfast.
Nice.
A lot of lawn mowing, a lot of changing beds. And so we decided, oh, we need to get closer to easier medical services and family that lived here in Redding. And therefore, we came to Redding, and about a year and a half ago or so, I saw those signs on buses and in people's yards, and I became interested in the grand jury just via newspaper articles and advertisement on TV, and so I thought I'd check it out. Went to one of the introductory meetings, filled out an application, and went from there.
And we'll talk about that process once you apply, how that works. But Patty, before I forget, I forgot to ask you, before you retired, what were you up to?
Well, I must have a problem with sticking with a plan, because I first was a elementary school teacher, and then I went into the insurance business for a great many years, and then I owned a home staging business.
Ah, nice. I love home staging.
It's very rewarding.
Yes.
And when you make people money by selling their house, they're very grateful.
Yes. And creating beauty, I think, is good. But, you know, elementary school teachers create a lot of beauty, too. So it's nice to have all that in your repertoire.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Denny Mills, how about for you? Where did you grow up?
I am a Redding girl, born and raised. So I've lived here my entire life. My dad did, too. He lived on East Street, and my other grandmother lived on West Street. So very local. And I went away to school for several years and then returned. My career was primarily in education. I was a school teacher for many years, and then I was an administrator for a number of years as well. Really enjoyed it. It was just like a passion. And then the last 5 years of my career, I was able to oversee a Safe Schools grant that brought in counseling and a lot of different services to two different districts. So it was really enjoyable. But being on the grand jury has been on my bucket list forever.
Yeah.
It's something I really wanted to do. And every time I'd see the signs, I had too much going on. I was working, raising a family, all of that. So this last year I thought, here's my green light. I've got the time to do it. And I am so happy I did. It's a very rewarding experience.
Yes, it's on my list too. It's going to be a ways off, but I think it's a remarkable way to give back, and especially since it's civil focus. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk a little bit now about how on earth does something come to the grand jury? And before we start that, let's talk about the process. You applied. You filled out a form that said, I'm interested. So what's the next step that happens? Does someone call you, sets up interviews? What happens next? Greg?
I think it's important to recognize that the Shasta County Grand Jury Association coordinates the activities of recruitment.
Which is a separate group.
That's correct. That shouldn't be confused with the grand jury.
Yeah.
That group, the application itself is somewhat revealing in the questions that an applicant needs to respond to. Those are reviewed by at least a committee of the Shasta County Grand Jury Association. At some point, there's a vetting process, a background check of, I think that's coordinated by the marshal's office under the direction of the Superior Court judge. Then I'm not real sure because I've never been on that side of it. My guess is that that's when the interviews start. And so each person that has made it through the background check and seems legal, that process starts. And then decisions are made of who moves on. Generally, in my experience of watching just recently, and then a year ago, where there's usually 27, 30 people that might be being considered to look for that that pool of 19. I think that's an important number that Patty brought up, is the 19. That's what makes it grand. It's not 12 people, but yeah. It's 19.
Yeah.
19 people.
And the term begins in July 1, correct?
Correct.
And so I can imagine someone in their vetting process may not realize, oh, I have this trip planned to Europe for 3 months. And so that wouldn't really be a good fit, because from July 1 to July 1, there'll be things, tasks that you're facilitating as a group. Correct?
That's true.
Patty?
But we certainly do accommodate people's, you know, different schedules.
If possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you had a cruise lined up, you know, for 2 weeks, we can make that happen.
Yeah. It's the months. Multiple months.
It's absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Multiple months.
Doesn't really fit too well.
Yeah.
So the next question I have is for thinking of your own process when you went through that. Were you nervous about it? Were you hesitant about it? I'm going to ask each one of you. I'll start with you, Danny. How did you feel when here you are, you have the application, and did you get an email, a phone call?
I received a phone call to schedule the interview, and I was very pleased with that. Went through the interview and then moved on to the pool. And there was probably, like Greg said, 27 or 30 people that had been approved to be sitting on the grand jury. And then they had one of the squirrel bins where they drew the names out. So
yeah.
It was like you waited for your name to be called. And fortunately, I got in on the 19 and was able to do that. And then the others that are not selected serve as alternates, which is extremely important. So they go through all the training as we do. And many of the alternates wound up being on the grand jury within the first month. So a lot of changes there.
Yes. And when you were doing the interview, was the interview with one person?
No, there was three people. And they were, one of them I recognized as being from former grand jury and from the association.
Yes. Yes.
I think those was, Patty, was there anybody else?
Yes, there's always a representative from the Superior Court.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
We basically report to the presiding judge of Superior Court.
Yes. And so for you, Patty, how was the experience when you got the phone call?
Well, I missed the orientation meetings. So I really was going in quite blind. And I was excited, but I was also a little nervous because I was less aware than I should have been about what was the grand jury was about, the obligations that you were taking on time-wise, et cetera. So I was a little more nervous than most people, I think. But I thought the interview process was very interesting. You could tell that they worked together, that they had created questions and worked on evaluating people together. And I thought that was important.
Yes. And did you have a panel of three also?
I think I had four people.
Yeah.
The first year. And then the second year, I did not have to re-interview. Basically, if you are on the grand jury for 1 year and you volunteer to be on the second year, the judge will ask the person who was the four person, would you be a good fit to continue on? And if the four person gives that go ahead, you bypass the whole interview process.
Which is nice, huh?
Yeah.
Truthfully.
I think interviews are always kind of a little alarming or a little attention making. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. How about, go ahead, Danny.
One of the things that I found interesting about the composition of the grand jury or the Shasta County grand jury, at least the one that I sat on.
The association or the jury?
The jury.
Okay.
Was how many of the people that chose to sit on that committee or on the grand jury were really new to the area. And some people said that they wanted to get to know the community a little bit better. So it was a really nice mix of people who had, you know, come from Bay Area and
all over the country, huh?
Yeah. So it was a good mix.
Yeah. That's interesting. So how about for you, Greg, as when you got the phone call, how was it for you?
It's Simmons. Simmons, not Simons.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Yeah, I think the biggest debate I went through is, okay, what if my name doesn't get pulled out of that bingo machine and I'm named as an alternate? Is this something I want to stick with and just wait around to be called to serve or don't want to get off to something else that I can do right away. As it turns out, my name was pulled from the machine. And as it turns out, all those alternates were utilized at one point or another during wow. the year. So all of that was pretty straightforward. Yeah.
And was your panel of interviewers three or four?
Four people.
Mm-hmm. And Patty had mentioned orientation and training. And so does the orientation and training come after you're selected, or is it preparation for the interview? Patty?
It's afterwards.
Afterwards.
And we actually, in Shasta County, we're very fortunate. We have a strong association that sets up a lot of the orientation, introduces us to community members, community leaders, police chiefs, et cetera. And then we also have the Civil Grand Jury Association of California. We have members of that organization who live in Redding. And that organization is an amazing training service for grand juries. They actually train in all of the counties in California. Is it 56, I think?
58.
Mm-hmm. They train in, I think, 56 of the counties in California.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
It's extremely powerful.
They keep very busy, don't they?
They do. They have a good website that is just chock full of documentation, suggestions, templates, all kinds of goodies
tools.
For grand juries. Tools. Proven tools.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
better.
That's awesome. I'm going to do a station ID. And when I come back, what I want to find out from the three of you is describing the training and orientation and how long of that approximately. It doesn't have to be exact, but so that people listening can go, oh, well, I could do that, or, oh, that's too much for me. So if you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with three individuals. Patty Bolton, she is the former foreperson of the 2025-2026 Shasta County Grand Jury, as well as Denny Mills, who's a chairperson for the County Committee that same year, 2025-2026, and Greg Simmons, who is the pro tem chair of the local agency and special districts 2025-2026. And so thinking about the training and orientation, who wants to describe orientation? What's that about? Or is that included with that? Danny?
There were several orientations. One, they called everybody in that had applied, and that was held at the city of Redding
community room?
Amphitheater, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they kind of gave a broad overview of what the responsibilities and what kind of service you would be providing. Then after that, the procedure for selection was, as noted...
The bin where the names are pulled?
Yes. 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 And so then it becomes, once you're approved by the grand jury to at least be one of the members, then you have the option to be chosen, or if not, be an alternate. Yeah.
Yeah. Or does anyone ever decline? You know, they decide, yes. Hey, this is too much. Yeah, I would think.
Yep.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like the day of,
oh, okay.
of the selection process, they just don't show up.
Oh, well, that kind of says something, doesn't it?
Well, I think they just get scared.
Yeah.
Something, they heard something that scared them.
Yeah.
So
can be intimidating.
Yeah.
But the alternates trains as well as those selected to serve.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because when it's their time to get called up, we want them to hit the ground running.
Yes. And thinking about training?
So the training is four? Yeah. So the 4 days of training are excellent. I think what was valuable about it is you were introduced to a lot of the community leaders within different agencies and areas of government, and they would share with us what their role was. And then I think what that really helped do is when we got into the actual committees and we're trying to determine what topic or what we needed to investigate, it was helpful to have known and listened to some of these people that might provide us more information that we needed for an investigation if it were to be happen.
Yes. And when you think of some of those community leaders, what's an example of some of the people that you were introduced to?
The sheriff was there. Christy Coleman, Health and Human Services, was there.
The whole spectrum probably across
there,
the community.
There were.
Yeah. Shasta County, not just Redding.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a county task you're doing.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not, and that was an important point. It wasn't just Redding. It was county that we are representing.
And when you think of the training, Patty, what thought do you have?
So the trainers themselves described it as you're going to get a fire hose of information, and they were right. It is a lot, and I think that is overwhelming to some people, but if you stick it out, it will all make sense in the end.
You
just have to give them so much, you have to get so much information about what the grand jury does, what our role is in the community, and getting ourselves organized into a working group, 19 strangers or 27 strangers or however many people end up getting selected, have to build it, build their own working unit.
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah, the team. So when you meet with this team and you're doing working besides the training after that, where do you meet?
The grand jury has an office.
Okay.
And it's, they moved us to a new office this year. Last year, it was not a very lovely place, but we have a beautiful facility now to meet in.
Nice. Is it in a county office?
It's in a federal building.
Federal building. That's nice. It's excellent. So anything more, Greg?
Yeah, one of the steps that shouldn't be overlooked is that while this training is going on or immediately thereafter for the grand jurors as a whole, is that the presiding judge is taking a look at the pool of people that she has and selects, appoints a foreperson. So it's that person, then once they're the foreperson, they go through a day of special training that sort of sets the stage to meet for the first time at the grand jury room.
Ah, and once the training's done, how often is there a set schedule to meet, or is it dependent upon what you're tasked with?
In the beginning, it's mostly administrative, you know, just setting up the committees. You know, this is what we do. This is, you know, this is your area of to look at.
Yeah.
And what are the problems that we have? You asked about how we identify areas to investigate. Yeah. There's actually two different ways to do that. We get citizen complaints. Every year we get well over 20 citizen complaints.
Wow.
Some are legitimate. Some are not. Some are not in our purview. There might be a federal or a state issue rather than a county issue.
Yeah.
They might be in litigation. We don't want to get involved with anything that's in litigation already. And so we get plenty of those. We look at them and assign them to different committees if appropriate, and the committee can choose to follow up on it or not. The other way that we get information about topics is just the individuals on the committee. I've been reading about something, and I'd like to investigate that further. We have to be very, very careful when we assign committee members and topics about anybody that has an indication of bias.
Yes.
So that's a very important part of the whole process, the selection of the topic.
It probably is a significant part of your training too.
Absolutely.
Bias, yeah, I would think.
Absolutely. We have a recusal process that people go through, and it might mean that they cannot be on a committee that they wanted to be on because they're so heavily involved in the topics that would be involved in that committee.
Yeah. And, you know, it's good just to remember that all of us have bias, but the bias you're pointing to is about the topic or the focus of an investigation. And so, you know, no one can say I'm bias-free. We all have bias. And the goal is to be aware of it so that it doesn't become a factor in what you're investigating. So anything else we want to add to that? Because otherwise I have a question about how you come up, you know, say someone says to you, this is a citizen makes a complaint, and immediately you know it's a federal issue. Do you tell them then it's a federal issue, we don't handle it?
Yes. Everybody that sends a complaint in gets a response back from the grand jury that we received it. We thank them for their interest, and they probably won't hear from us again.
Yeah.
It may or may not be taken up.
But if it's something federal and not something county, do you tell them that?
Yes.
Okay,
this
good.
This is not in our purview.
And if litigation, you'll tell them if it involves litigation, yeah. So we don't. Okay, good.
Correct.
So, but I think it's important for people to realize they're not going to hear back from you. They're not going to be, you're not going to inform them what's going on in the process. In fact, the only way they're really going to know what the results of the investigation is or are if there's more than one investigation. How's that? How do people find out?
Well, in the long run, is there a report that's issued?
Yeah. But say it comes to the end of the year, Patty.
The end of the year?
End of the year, and they haven't heard anything, and there's been no report.
They would just have to assume that the committee, or no committee, picked up their complaint to look at.
Yeah.
I was talking about the Civil Grand Jury Association of California, and they have amazing tools for us to use. For example, there's a form letter already written for all of those topics we just talked about. This is a federal thing. This is not within that. We can't follow up on this or just thank you for your
input.
For your input. Those are already written. We don't have to reevaluate the will or rewrite the will, maybe make a mistake, use some wrong wording. It's already done for us.
Good.
It's an amazing tool that they have given to us.
Good process in place, mm-hmm. isn't there? Mm-hmm. So let's imagine there's a person on the committee that says, I think we should investigate X. Probably that person's not going to be in that investigation, correct?
Not necessarily.
It's whether or not they have the bias.
Yes. It could be just something they read in the newspaper or saw in the media. I think that is exactly how the investigation into the civil auditorium came up. It was a topic of conversation in the news, in the media.
Highly in the news and highly in the media.
Exactly.
Which is part of the reason I invited the three of you into the studio today is because I wanted to talk about that investigation that was part of the 2025-2026 term. And there's been so much conversation and comments, and social media is not the place to find information. It's really about going and finding the report from the grand jury. So was that a citizen's complaint that came in around the civic, or was there someone else, some other way?
It was just somebody saw it on the media and thought it was of interest.
Yes, yes.
So much money.
Yes, and it's the building's been there for many, many years.
It was opened in 1970.
And
has never operated at a profit.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And the last few years, who was operating that for the city? Craig?
There's a lease agreement between the city of Reading and, Advance Reading, which was a nonprofit organization that was really created by the Bethel Church.
And that organization was responsible for the operation of the Civic for, do you know how long?
Okay, one of the things is we have a page in the reports called Key Dates in Civic Auditorium History. As Patty said, opening in 1970. From 1970 to 2010, the city of Reading operated the auditorium.
They did that with their own staff.
That's correct.
Yeah.
They were paid as staff people, but not any additional money to manage the auditorium.
Yes.
October of 2011, Bethel Church forms a nonprofit, Advance Reading, to operate the auditorium. The city leases the auditorium to Advance Reading that same month and date, which is responsible for operations and promotions. The city is responsible for capital improvements and maintenance.
So capital improvements would be?
Air conditioning, infrastructure.
Because they're the owner of the building.
That's correct.
Yes. Yep. And they've hired or contracted with this nonprofit organization, Advance Reading, to create events there, hold events so that they can have money coming in.
And manage the events that are part of the lease agreement that are required by the city of Reading. So Freedom Festival, Cool April Nights, sportsman shows.
Yeah.
I think the high school, Enterprise High School, had a graduation there, those sorts of things.
Yes.
So the actual ongoing business management went to the nonprofit.
I'm going to pause you there, Greg, and I'm going to do a station ID. We'll come back and we're going to go more in depth into the Shasta County Grand Jury's report on the Civic Auditorium. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with three members of the Shasta County Grand Jury, an organization that works on civil issues, not criminal issues, for Shasta County. We have the former foreperson. All three of these individuals are from the 2025-2026 term. So Patty Bolton is the former foreperson. Denny Mills is the chairperson for the county committee. And then we have Greg Simmons, who is the chair of the local agencies and special districts. And going back and thinking about the Civic Auditorium, we've discovered in your presentation that the Civic opened in 1970, and then in 2011, Advanced Reading, the nonprofit organization, was under contract, a lease, with the City of Reading for operations of the Civic Auditorium. So then Advanced Reading is working on things, and then we hear all this chaos that happens with the community. So, Greg, for us, what's the next part of your report share with us?
Well, let's go with still being in October of 2011. Advanced Reading subleases to Bethel Church to operate School of Supernatural Ministries. In 2014, the city of Reading sells real property to allow the construction of Sheraton Hotel, and designates the money for capital improvements and deferred maintenance at the auditorium. Notice it doesn't say operations, but the
deferred maintenance.
Correct.
So that means the profits from the Sheraton go to deferred maintenance?
It sells the money that comes into the City of Reading gets put into a special fund.
But the Sheraton, you said the Sheraton.
I did say the Sheraton.
Is the Sheraton owned by the City of Reading?
No. The city sold the real property, the ground, to Sheraton Hotel.
See. Okay.
They took the money from that sale and put it into account to support the city auditorium infrastructure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for clarification, because I'm going, huh?
From 2020, 2023, it was a COVID shutdown. So we have no activity. 2023, Bethel Church terminates its lease with Advanced Reading and moves out of the auditorium.
That's a School of Supernatural Ministry.
That's correct.
Yes. But was Advanced Reading still in place then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Just the school moved.
Yes. In the spring, Advanced Reading donates funds to support Measure A, which was a tax initiative. August 4th, Advanced Reading presents financial dilemma to the City Council, City of Reading. August 19th, Advanced Reading asks for a $675,000 grant for current expenses and to reduce their rent.
And what year was that?
That was in 2025. 2025, in the spring, Advanced Reading donates funds to support Measure A. August 4th, Advanced Reading presents financial dilemma to the City Council. August 19th, Advanced Reading asks for $675,000 grant.
So let's slow down a little bit. You said Advanced Reading gives funds to support Measure A.
Correct.
So they're giving those funds to who?
To a special interest group that was promoting the measure.
And the measure would supply funding for the Civic Auditorium's infrastructure.
It would provide monies to the general fund for the City of Reading, a portion of which might go towards support of Advanced Reading and its promotions and operation of the City Auditorium.
But I do know in the community, everyone was saying, oh, that's how we're going to fund the Civic Auditorium's improvements. So it's good that you clarify funds would really go into the general fund.
Well, I'm not sure if it's the general fund that was going to be brought much broader than it could have been. Sales tax money that helped fire, that helped police,
yeah,
that helped roadways.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Didn't pass.
Patty wants to add to that?
Well, the concern was that the city, gave Advanced Reading a lot of money and that they turned around and donated to a political cause. That was where the concern came in from the community. And this report helps clear up that. That did not actually happen.
Yes, I think that's what's important. Part of the reason I ask you because of all that scuttlebutt that's going on. And so Advance Ready makes a donation, and then next we have Greg?
Yes, on September 2nd, the City Council approves a grant for $675,000 to Advance Ready, and the rent from Advance Ready to the City of Ready is reduced to zero. Until 1/26, so January 26.
So there's no, that was what year? September what? It started 2025?
That's correct.
So September 2025, they are not paying rent through January 2026?
That's correct.
Okay, no rent. Because the goal is that it would help them stay there and keep it working.
Everybody recognizes that they are in a dilemma, that yeah, they need money to operate.
Yeah. That's challenging. Okay, next step there.
In October of 2025, City Council learns of Advanced Reading donation to Measure A. October 9th, Advanced Reading confirms the city was made aware of Measure A donation. In November of 2025, Measure A fails. In 2026, January 21st, the City Director of Services tells City Council that closing the auditorium would cost $1.2 million annually.
So let's pause there for a moment. What month was it the city told that it was going to cost them $1.2 million?
January 21st of 2026.
So 2026, Advanced Reading still is in place.
Correct.
And the city's notified it's $1.2 million cost, even if the auditorium's empty.
There was a council meeting where the various options were put up on a big screen. One of those options is, what does it cost if we close the auditorium? Well, a building still lives and breathes and so on. So
it needs care.
It needs the maintenance. It needs it would probably need extra security beyond what was being
when there's people there.
Even when there's not people there, yeah, and fencing around the outside and so on. But getting water and electricity flowing, even though it's minimal use, it would cost $1.2 million. So in my opinion, not in the report's opinion, but my opinion, it was going to cost between $1.2 and $1.9 million either way you did it. So do you give the money to Advanced Ready to keep on operating, or do you close it, have no services out of it, still spend $1.2 million?
Yeah.
So that's
a dilemma.
Where our thinking on that committee was at that point is, well, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. That would be a good question. Okay. What is next on the step?
The last one we have on this chart is February 3rd of 2026. The City Council approves $116,000 per month funding through 6/26 and requires quarterly financial statements from Advanced Ready. I think the main message there was, now that they're requiring those, it's rather obvious that they weren't requiring them prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So the big question for the city committee came, what is the city council making their decisions on? Mm-hmm. If you need money, you just go to a council meeting and say, hey, we need $675,000, and they give it to you. Then the concern was, that wasn't maintenance and infrastructure, but it's promotions and operation. So that money that came from the Sheraton was being diverted and used. And did the public really understand what was going on? And did the council members explain that well so that it wasn't a misuse of dollars?
And when you talk about the Sheraton, it is simply the sale of the property, not the Sheraton's operation and profits.
That's correct.
Yeah. And so We're up to February 3rd. They're going to have 116,000 per month till June of 2026.
That's correct.
And what happened next?
I'm not sure. And the reason I say that is we were so far into our investigation at that point that what was ongoing was consistent with the findings that we were having, the facts that we had gathered and the findings we have, and a lot of the moves that the city council then made to take a look at what the problem was were being resolved.
But yet we know that Advanced Reading stepped away. Why? Do you know why Advanced Reading stepped away from the lease and operating the Civic Auditorium?
That's all happened really
afterwards.
Since. Yes.
Yeah. So you don't really know.
We understand that the city asked for requests for proposals for running the Civic Auditorium, and we believe that Advanced Reading is maybe one of the people that is going to be offering.
But as of right now, this is late June, the Civic is not having anything
That's
operational.
Correct.
And is it for sure, Patty? I don't know. I just want to clarify. Do you know if they're in the process of reviewing proposals?
I don't know where they are in that process.
Yeah.
It would be pretty soon to be actually getting proposals written and presented by now.
Yeah, it takes a while. Mm-hmm. So from your investigations of this thing with the Civic Auditorium, do you feel that Advanced Reading was in any way misusing funds?
No.
Greg?
No.
I think that's the thing that I wanted to really clarify.
No.
In fact, I know for myself, when I'd go to events there, they were really put together well. I was impressed. And it drew me back, their leadership drew me back to the Civic Auditorium because of the great experiences I was having. And I think it's a loss for the community. Did you want to say something, Jenny?
Yes, I would agree.
Patty, anything?
I think they were in a difficult position.
Yeah.
They were given the job of maintaining a project that's almost impossible to maintain with the funds they were given.
Yeah. They were trying.
They were trying.
Yes. Yes.
And the point that I was hoping to make was that Bethel was a very large contributor to the financial well-being of Advanced Reading.
And that was because they had the School of Supernatural Ministries
Correct.
There for
so
a while.
So they were paying
rent.
To
use the Civic.
Which helped the facility to continue to function.
Huge.
So when Bethel left to another facility, it left a real gap.
A hole.
Yeah.
Of funding. Patty?
COVID didn't help either.
COVID was hard for everybody, mm-hmm. but to have, you know, that vacancy for that long a time. Mm-hmm. I mean, many organizations closed, so it made it more challenging.
Absolutely.
Any other thoughts, Denny?
It's just one of those things, as Greg said, that are kind of hanging in the balance. It's happening as we speak.
Yes.
Different decisions and proposals. So it's very interesting time to keep an eye on it.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, really, I wanted to have the community learn about Shasta County Grand Jury and what the process is and how they can volunteer and the terms and all that. But this project has had such high profile in the community and so much misinformation's out there. You know, to me, I thought Advanced Reading was doing a remarkable job, and to hear people say, well, they were taking advantage and all this, that's why I wanted you to come in and to clarify. It was difficult, and that I think they're a very reputable organization. I think if they could come up with their proposal was successful in being secured and they could work things out, I think we would all benefit, our whole community. And, you know, for me, one of the challenges I have with the whole history with the Civic Auditorium, I was in the council chambers in 2022 when the McConnell Foundation, Populous, and K2 Development came to the city of Reading and offered to take down the Civic Auditorium and to create for the city an event center. And that was declined. I have no clue why you would do that as an organization, but that transpired. And so we today, 2026, are here with this added dilemma. And so I think it's important for us to look at that whole history and try to hopefully our community can go, let's try something new and different. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here in conversation with three members of the Shasta County Grand Jury that serve the term of 2025 to 2026. Terms begin July 1. And what they're sharing with us is the report that they did on the investigation for the Civic Auditorium that is owned by the City of Reading. And that report covers a time frame up until the funding from the City of Reading with Advance Reading to the 1st of June of 2026. So there's report doesn't go beyond that. So the other part of this process that I think is important for us is, you know, I might say the findings or recommendations. Greg, can you help us with that?
Yes, we had five findings, if you allow me to read through those five.
Please, please.
And make note that will be followed by a couple of recommendations that relate back to the findings.
And I may interrupt you on one of those.
Of course.
Clarified, what's that mean?
Yeah, so the idea of how the committee went about the investigation is you sort of start in the middle of the report and get your facts together. The way you get the facts together is by looking at all the publicly available documentation that you can find. So websites, financial documents, minutes and agendas. And
from the City of Reading.
Agenda packages or from the Board of Directors of Advanced Reading. So you do all that stuff that's publicly available and gather that. And then at some point, if necessary, you bring people in that would know about that and do a very confidential interview with them, either to illuminate additional facts or to be confirming the facts that you think you already have.
Yeah.
So we're very careful about that process and very careful about saying, can we really say that? Is that true? Do we have enough information? So that brought us to a number of findings. The first was the Reading City Council did not receive documentation that would have allowed council members and the public to have a clear understanding of Advanced Reading's financial position to justify for the grant and the reduction in rent. A second finding was some Reading City Council members failed in their duty to exercise due diligence by not requesting the background information from Advanced Reading or other sources when it was not provided to the council when considering and approving the grant request and reduction in rent. The third was documents and interviews produced during the investigation support the grant request and the reduction in rent. Detailed supporting documents would not have influenced the approval of the grant request and reduction in rent by the City Council. The fourth of the five is the Reading City Council did not receive notification of Advanced Reading's donation in support of Measure A before considering the grant request, resulting in citizen and council concerns that Advanced Reading may have used grant money to donate to a political campaign. And the last is documents and interviews substantiate that the donation by Advanced Reading to support of Measure A was proper, and its disclosure to the City Council would have not influenced the approval of the grant request and reduction in rent.
And one of the things I want to emphasize, because of conversations you hear in the community, that your findings determine that Advanced Reading's donation to the Measure A was not inappropriate. It was appropriate.
It was appropriate because it came out of a separate budget account that they had to do good things for the city of Reading.
wasn't grant funded by this anyone else.
City. Well, I'm not sure where that money came from, but it wasn't money. It wasn't the money from the sale of the Sheraton that went back in and they turned around and gave $50,000 to a political cause.
Yeah, it wasn't from the sale of the Sheraton property.
Nope.
Yeah, no city money.
That's correct.
I think that's really good.
Yeah.
I think those findings are important for people to realize.
And there's two recommendations that the committee had. On or before December 31st, 2026, the Reading City Council direct the Reading City Manager to adopt procedures which educate and emphasize the duty of its support staff to provide all relevant information to the council and the public prior to any action taken. And recommendation two, effective immediately, each member of the Reading City Council must exercise due diligence in considering any requests for city funds.
And does it define what due diligence is?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a horrible thought, isn't it? Well, it means, one, you need reports showing the status of things.
When you're in a position of making choices for the citizenry, have you done all you could do to have the current information that makes it a good decision on your part?
And to document that whole process.
And are going back to the findings, or was findings were that they didn't always have that information from the city manager, from staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we're recommending is they do have all that information.
Yes.
Prior to making those decisions. But that's a very complicated process, and the work of the city council member is unbelievable. Let me give you a quick hypothetical example, is that a city council member may not get information about next Tuesday's council meeting until the prior Thursday afternoon, when a courier delivers the agenda and agenda packet to their homes. Now they have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They need to be ready to, and they've been looking at a long minutes from the last meeting, agenda for the current meeting, and 250, 300 page packet of information that may have contracts, memoranda of understandings, et cetera. If some of that's been deducted,
yes,
at various levels within the council and or the city manager, then there's some of the council members seem to be okay with that. Some say, no, I want all that information. I want to be able to read it all so I have total understanding.
Yeah.
But there's only two working days.
Yeah.
That Friday and that Monday. So it's a tough job.
And that's if they're doing nothing else.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your thoughts about all this, Greg?
Well, what we hope we did is we hope we told the story. We hope we straightened out some, investigated and found that some things that were true and some things that weren't true, and things that were facts, and the findings and recommendations that we give hopefully will put shine a light on some things that could be done better, which is the whole purpose of the grand jury, is to have a government entity be able to improve. And from what I've seen since we've ceased our investigation, is that those are things that the City of Reading City Council is doing.
Yes. Any thoughts, Patty?
Actually, I was part of the process of bringing the new jurors in for the first couple of days of their orientation.
Uh-huh.
And one of the questions one of the new jurors asked was, well, they're given 90 days or 60 days, depending on who they are, to respond. But what if they just say, well, thanks, no thanks? And that's a legitimate question, because that is actually can happen and has happened many times. So then the question was, well, then why are we doing it? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that is, we're shedding light, we're bringing people up to speed with what's going on. And if people are aware that there's issues, they aren't going to let it drop.
Yeah.
The grand jury can also come back and review the same entity or process again in the future, The second report that the grand jury produced this year, the Shasta County grand jury produced this year, was about the Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District. We have done two prior reports on that report, and we're bringing things, changes weren't made in the past. So we're bringing that up again. What are the issues? Continuing on. The more you tell the story, the more the public is aware, and public sentiment can go a long way to making changes that the grand jury can't force.
Plus, when you have measures that show up on a ballot, having that history and knowledge and education about the topic, I think, is critical. Do you have any thoughts, Denny, you want to share about the report?
I thought it opened the window. One of the titles of the report is, If You Don't Ask It, You'll Never Know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the theme of the whole Shasta County grand jury, is asking that question, and then you have the opportunity to do a deep dive into that one particular topic and find out the background and why it's occurring the way it is.
Yeah, yeah. We only have a couple minutes left in the program, but one of the other things I wanted to ask you about this, you start interviewing people from all the concerned parties, as well as looking at documents. Do they have to do the interviews with you, Greg?
The general answer would be no, they can decline. Probably the most powerful thing that a grand jury has is to note the cooperation or lack of cooperation on the part of certain group of people or an entity.
Yeah.
In most cases, and I was able to sit in on all of the investigative committees at one point or another, I would say that 90%, 95% of the people were really happy to be able to give testimony. And that would be in the middle part of that bell-shaped curve.
Yeah.
There are some people that I saw Denny hand out tissues to people that were so involved and felt so desperately about the situation that we were talking about that they were basically in tears. We had other people that didn't know much, and it wasn't that they were trying to put us off, they just didn't know much.
Yeah.
Which led us to start looking down some other lines and we had people that I've heard of people in past juries and that are, how should I say it, not giving us all the information that they have.
Withholding.
And, it felt like it.
Yeah.
But like I say, don't let that be, the majority was very happy to be there, very
forthcoming,
be part of it. They have a heavy duty put on them in terms of confidentiality and not talking about anything that was being discussed within those interviews,
yeah,
as do the jurors for a lifetime.
Yes. So I think it's important to realize you have to keep those confidences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've done a great job not putting us on the spot of pushing us towards wanting to break that confidentiality, because we would need to be rather stern about that and say, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah. So if someone wants to get a copy of the report, how do they get a copy of the report?
All reports for the grand jury going back many, many, many years are available online at the Shasta County website.
Okay.
In there, you can click on the grand jury, and then there's a section called reports and responses. Because when for example, the city council comes back and talks about the recommendations that we made, yes, we're going to do it. No, we can't do it. It's too much money. We're already started. Whatever their response is, we will put that online along with the following the report.
Excellent.
So those reports are online and anybody can get them. As far as paper copies, many dignitaries in the county have been given beautifully spiral bound copies of this. Then there are 300 paper copies that are being distributed by the jury members at places that would be where you would find
public people
who would be interested in it.
Yeah.
Our unwritten motto is, if the Enjoy magazine is there, this report can go there too.
Okay. I want to thank you three for coming in. I have to have you come back and do the Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We had today Patty Bolton, former foreperson, Denny Mills, the chairperson of the county committee, and Greg Simmons, who was the chair for the local agencies and special districts. Thank you all three of you for your dedication, for showing up for our community and serving on the Shasta County jury. I want to remind us here in the studio, our listeners, we want to make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living. Thank you for joining us.